All right, we're going to start a little series here. We have Easter or Resurrection Sunday coming up here at the end of the month. So it comes early this year. But I wanted to talk about the cross for a little bit and the idea of which side of Calvary, you know, are we living in? Because it does make a difference. You know, that new life, you know, that Jesus Christ came to give us, you know, is very important that we really understand that. So what I see is the idea of, you know, one of the problems that we as Christians seem to have in our life is that we tend to operate on both sides of Calvary. It's kind of like in the Old Testament when we're eating out of both trees, you know, the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. We kind of swing back and forth. And it's kind of like that in the New Testament in the sense that, you know, we operate on both sides of it and then we wonder why we're not totally living in victory. See, we struggle when we're trying to live out the new life by old life principles. Some of the old things, you know, especially the law and also just the old way we used to live. And it's, to me, it's like taking a shower. Everybody takes a shower, right? And then after you get done all cleaned up and you smell good and you look good, then you put on them old dirty clothes that maybe you were cleaning out the attic with. Just all dirty and smelly, you put those back on. It kind of defeats the purpose, doesn't it? Well, it's kind of like that, you know, in our Christian walk, where we start to learn about the new life, you know, that Jesus Christ came to give, and then we kind of just, you know, live by the old ways. And so, to me, the cross of Christ is a point of demarcation in our life, and there's this side and that side, and we need to live on this side. Scripture I want to look at today is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. You know, this is one you should highlight in your Bible. If you have a Bible, you can buy a highlighter. We have some around here if you need one. We usually give them away at Mother's Day and Father's Day. I don't know if I'll do it again this year, but it's good to highlight things in your Bible so you can find them easier. And that way you can meditate on them a little bit. But 1 Corinthians 1:18, first I'll read from the New American Standard. It says, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Also, I want to read it in the Amplified. It says, "For the story and message of the cross is sheer absurdity and folly to those who are perishing and on their way to perdition, but to us who are being saved, it is the manifestation of the power of God." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the power of your Spirit just to be here today, Lord. We thank you for the anointing, Lord, the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage on each of our lives, Lord. We thank you that you have come to bring victory to our lives. Lord, never the same, never the same. Lord, I thank you. I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And Lord, for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name, amen. So, I have a cross here behind me today. And, you know, we have this side of Calvary, and then we have that side of Calvary. And when we come to Christ, the cross is very important that we understand what really happened on that cross. And that we get the revelation, shall we say, of how important it is. Because what happened on that cross several thousand years ago was one of the most powerful things that has ever happened upon the earth. It is only eclipsed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that, to me, is a larger event of what has happened. Now, crosses, some people may be wearing a cross today here. I don't usually wear crosses for whatever reason. I don't even know if I have one. I might have one at home. But, you know, anybody can wear a cross around their neck, but only a true believer can bear the marks of the cross on their life. Because the cross has power. Power to transform, power to change us, power to overcome the devil. And we're going to be looking at some of these things. Now, as Christians, we do not worship the cross, but we worship the one who hung on the cross in our stead. So the cross cannot become an idol. You know, but it really, it was a tool. It was an implement. It was something that God used to be able to bring deliverance to mankind. And when we receive that revelation and understand just the power that's in the cross of Christ and the word of the cross, then we're going to start to walk in a better level of freedom. And that leads me to my first point, is the word of the cross. The cross has a message. What message is that to you? Many miss it. Like I say, people buy crosses. You don't have to be a Christian to wear a cross, right? You understand that. Anybody can wear a cross. You know, and the fact that we have a cross around our neck or maybe a cross on our shirt, it doesn't really make us saved. That has no power. But the power is the revelation, and then we allow the influence of what happened on the cross. Amen. To change our life and what that transformative power means. Now, some people, me for one, before I understood everything, I don't understand everything. Let's say I understand quite a bit right now, but I don't understand it all. But, you know, growing up, I didn't understand the cross. I knew Jesus died on the cross. I knew that he saved me from my sins. But some people struggle in the sense that since it didn't happen to them, we don't understand it happened for us. Bens, it didn't happen to us. So it's hard for us to grasp that concept, and we're going to be looking at it a little bit if we have time today. The idea of substitution and what that means, and how if we get a glimpse and we grab a hold of that revelation, it's a weapon against the devil that he can never bring up our past again. Has anybody ever had the devil bring up their past against them? You know, and try to drag them down and try to make them, you know, think that maybe we're unworthy, that we're just not good enough anymore, that, you know, no matter what we do, we just can't get it right. And see, that's what the devil's going to do. He's going to try to use that past against us, but we need to make a stand. You know, the only time that you're ever defeated is when you stop getting up. Right. Somebody needs to hear that today. That's the only time that you're defeated is when you quit getting up. As long as you keep getting up, you can never be defeated because you haven't given in. You're willing to stay in the fight and to be overcome the things that try to hold us back in this life, that tries to destroy us. Now, the concept is the idea that is when we don't really understand the revelation of the cross, then we fail to appropriate what it has done and what it can do in our life today. Just like the power of water baptism. We're going to do a water baptism here in about a month or so. If you've never been water baptized by immersion, we're going to open that up. And if you'd like to do that, and even if you don't want to do it, and you know, and God's telling you to do it, you need to do it. Amen. You know, because there's power when we do these sort of things and we understand, you know, what it means. It's a point of separation from the old life and we're into the new life. You know, when we change, just like when after you get all cleaned up, you know, you put on those new clothes, you know, are not new to you, but they're clean. You know, I like clean clothes. You know, I hate it. Now, I have in times, whatever, I don't know why I did that, but I have put on dirty clothes after I got out of the shower. Can't remember the application at the time, but maybe I just was going to do something dirty again, but it wasn't as dirty as I was before. But that icky feeling. But I tell you what, you slip on those new clothes, man, that feels good, don't it? Yes. You get that nice, slick feeling, you know, not ruffled or crumpled. You know what I mean? And just kind of that fresh feeling. And see, that's what we want. We want to have that in our life. And the concept is that someone has to die for sin. Just simple as that. Someone has to die. Sin has made a separation between us and our God. That's just the way it is. I didn't write it. That's just what I read. And you've read it too. And we're all sinners. We're born sinners, separated from God due to the sin of Adam. It's hereditary. It's such a part of our life that sometimes we're unaware. You know, we've been living that way for so long that we don't really understand. And then the idea, once we start, you know, reading the Bible a little bit and starting to get a piece and putting the puzzle together and getting the picture, we know that that sin has made a separation between us and God. And the only way to deal with that sin is that something had to die. You know, remember that the Bible says in Leviticus, life is in the blood. So in the Old Testament, they would kill an animal and take that blood, and then it would cover their sins, and the big time they did it would cover their sins for a year on the Day of Atonement. Then when they did other sins, you know, they still had to kill animals, you know, day to day and all that. But primarily, the revelation was given that something had to die. Now, as I see it, and I believe this is a true statement, it can be us. We can die in our sins. Did you know that? There's people dying in their sins every day. All the while, God is holding out the free gift. Free gift of eternal light. It's there. It's right there. You just got to grab a hold. But we reject it. So when we reject that gift, it's like we're rejecting Him. And we die in our sins. Or it can be Him. So it's either us or Jesus that has to die for our sins. Whichever one you choose, it's your choice. Simple as that. God gave us a free will.
Yes.
Praise God for the free will.
Thank you.
How many like it that we're not all the same? You know, some of us, you know, like I say, it's good that we're different. I just wish some weren't so different. You know what I'm saying? It happens, right? You know? But I mean, we're just different. And that's good. And God has given us a precious gift of a free will where we can take that free will and we can make choices. You know, you can choose what your vocation may be. You can choose who you marry. You can choose, you know, primarily what you want to do today. And you can choose to accept the free gift of God,
Amen.
Which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Thank you.
That's an awesome, great gift, a choice to make. But it's something that we all need to do. And because what happens is we understand that sin brings death. Now, I've shared this several times, but what death is, it's talking about is spiritual death or separation from God. That's what spiritual death is. See, the soul that sins will die, the Bible says. Well, you go out and sin, you live it up a little bit, and you don't die. So you wonder what? But it's not talking about that physical death per se, although a life of sin can bring death earlier, if you know what I mean. You know, there's things that we can do to expedite our limited time on this planet. You know, end over in car wrecks. You know, eating bad food all the time. You know, putting things in our body that shouldn't be there. Those things can have an effect on our lifespan. But what we need to really understand is the idea is that this is talking about spiritual death. It's a spiritual problem we have. It's a spiritual problem. God is a spirit. And if we understand the revelation of what spiritual death means, separation, and that's why Jesus Christ came. He really came to heal his spirit, soul, body. But the main revelation we need to get first is God came to heal our spirit, and that's what happens when we're born again. You know, I praise God for the born-again experience where we've passed from death to life. We come and we ask Jesus Christ to come into our life. We surrender, you know, and then we ask Him in, and boom, we're a new person. Then there's a process. Our soul. We don't think right yet. I mean, after you become a Christian, your thinking's still messed up a little bit, right? At least you were smart enough to get saved. Praise God for that. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I may not be the shiniest light bulb, but I'm bright enough to get saved. You know, I did that. Well, then you start to go through the process of putting the Word of God in, and then the junk goes out. It changes the way we think. It changes the way we live. Our actions happen because of a thought. We think it, then we do it. So if we change the way we think, we change what we do. Is that easy? Very easy. So how do we change the way we think? We start to put the Word of God in. You know, the old scripture, Romans 12:2, don't be conformed, but be transformed. You know, transforming your mind, you know, by the Word of God. And it's just a process. And sometimes it feels like a never-ending process. Just when you think you got it, there's more. But it's worth it. Amen. It's worth it.
Thank you.
Just keep learning. Just keep putting God in. So when we understand what this free gift is about, is we understand that, you know, we cannot work our way out of sin. You can't work your way out of sin. It's just we're not good enough. I hate to say that, but we're not good enough. There's no good thing we could ever do that compares with the work of Christ on the cross. Nothing. You can go help people, which we should do anyway. You could be kind to people, which we should do anyway. But it's not how our good needs to outweigh our bad. You know what I mean? There's people that live by that, a set of scales. They carry a set of scales around. And if their good is better than their bad, well, then they get to go to heaven. But if their bad outweighs their good, well, then they go to the other place. Because there's only two options, heaven or hell. That's just the way it is. There is no in-between.
Right.
And, you know, we need to do that. And what we need to really grasp a hold of is that, you know, God, he doesn't have this cosmic scale where he's keeping score. No. It's not a curve. Have you ever had a teacher grade on the curve? You just hoped you had a bunch of other stupid people in your class so it'd help you, right? So what the curve is that you had, you know, they take maybe the high score and then they prorate it down between everybody else, and then hopefully that'll help you if you didn't do well on the test. But see, God doesn't grade on the curve. It's pass-fail. Simple as that. And the way we pass is that we pass from death to life is when we surrender our life to Christ. Simple as that. So we don't have to go there out and keep working, try to work our way back into God's graces, because, you know, through Jesus Christ, we have made that. So, to me, as we look at this cross, it's a point of separation. You know, you got this side and you got that side. You know, you got this side of Calvary and you got that side of Calvary. And maybe you remember it, I hope you do, but that BC and AC moment. Remember that? You got your before Christ moment, then you got your after Christ moment. You know, before Christ, I lived like this. I thought like this. I operated like this. This kind of stuff was important to me. But then you had your AC moment, and all of a sudden things change. Wow, this stuff isn't really as important anymore. Now, this stuff, wow, it seems kind of important. You know, things that I thought were boring, I mean, I lived it up, people. And I thought Christians were kind of boring people. And that's really why I didn't want to be one. Until I became one.
Amen.
Then, wow, this stuff ain't boring after all.
Thank you.
This stuff's good. You know, there's life here.
Yes.
There's a change. There's something happened in me.
Yes.
I'm not that way no more. And see, that all happened just by that revelation. And so when that happened, to me, that's when we stepped into our destiny. You have a destiny. You have a plan that God has for your life. God wants you to walk into that plan. And to do that, we have to accept our destiny. And that doesn't happen until we receive Christ. Before, we're just out there treading water. I mean, that's just no fun. You know, I remember taking swimming lessons and they said, go out there and tread water for a while. Well, how long? Until I tell you to quit. Well, that wasn't no fun. You know, I wasn't, as I always say, the Grays weren't known for their swimming. You know what I'm saying? I sunk like a rock. I mean, so to me, I had to really work to tread water. I had to put a lot of effort into that. I just didn't float by, you think I would have floated. You know, I've lost a lot of weight now, but you think that would help me float, but it wouldn't. I just went down. And so it was a lot of work, and I just don't like treading water. And so when I stepped into my destiny, you know, that made a change. And so to me, the day that we make Jesus Christ Lord is even more important than the day we were born. You know, I don't mean to be cruel here, but what good is it to be born if you're just going to go to hell? I don't know. I think weird things. You know what I'm saying? I mean, why waste all the air on you or me if I don't want to serve Christ? Why waste all the food and the water, all those environmentals? Oh, we're wasting all this water on these cattle, you know. They want us to eat, you know, grasshoppers or something. That's not me. You know what I mean? I just can't do that. I mean, I've had some crazy stuff when I went overseas. Worst I had was fish brains. That's a one and done. You know what I'm saying? When I was in Turkey one time, I had that. But I don't know. Of course, I've never eaten a grasshopper on purpose. You know, I might have had something fly in my mouth one time, but I don't know what that tastes like. But it's just not, you know, why waste all these things? And see, what good is it to enjoy all the pleasures this life has to offer and spend eternity in hell? Now, we know that God has so much more. God wants us to enjoy this world, doesn't he? He has so many things out here that we can really enjoy as long as we keep proper perspective. Perspective's everything. You know, what we put in order, what we have as priorities, what is important to us, you know, and what really is important to God. And so sometimes life gets hard. I know that. Sometimes life doesn't go the way that we want. Maybe you had a rough start. Don't finish that way. Man, turn it around. Like I always say, turn that frown upside down. You know what I'm saying? You know, God has a better plan. See, we gotta look past the pain and focus on the promise. How do you focus on the promise? Well, you gotta know what the promise is. Right? You can't focus on something you don't know about. That's why we encourage getting in the Word of God. That's why attending church is important. I throw out some promises every now and then. If you like one, grab a hold. That's why we have our Wednesday night get-togethers. We throw some promises out, grab a hold. Amen. Get one for yourself. And start focusing on that instead of all my pain. Now, I don't deny pain. Don't get me wrong. Pain is real. But we can't focus on it. It's faith over feelings. I'm cold when I say that, I know. But it's faith over feelings, faith over fear. These things is what's going to bring victory. It's not going to be by living how you feel. I don't feel like getting up today, so I'm going to stay home. You're fired. What? That's not fair. Yeah, you lived by your feelings. Now you're paying the price. Is that real? That's how it works in the real world.
Yes.
And we live in the real world. We gotta go. I used to, before I got saved, even after I got saved, I still think this. If you're gonna be sick, you might as well get paid for it. You know what I mean? Just drag yourself to work, you know? Just go get paid. You're going to be sick anyway. You might as well get paid for it, right? No, we're going to be healed. Amen? You know, we want to get healed. But, you know, just go. And I don't know, I just got this stirring inside of me. This isn't part of what I'm supposed to be talking about today. But, you know, we got to stop trying to make excuses and start making solutions.
Yes.
You know what I mean? We need to be the kind of people that finds a solution to the problem. Be a problem solver. And when we do that, but that comes by, you know, operating, you know, in a level of freedom, because that taps us in to a God that wants to lead us and direct us. But, you know, we got to live on this side of Calvary instead of that side of Calvary. See, on this side of Calvary is all the pain. And on this side of Calvary is the promise.
Yes.
Which side of Calvary are we living on? Which side of Calvary do you want to live in? See, some people take up the cross and they think that pain and sickness is that, but you know, pain and sickness and disease is not really taking up your cross technically, but the pain of submission is when we submit ourselves to His plan. Did you know that we can be kind of stubborn? Is there any stubborn people here today? I think we all are. I don't want to do that. You can't make me do that. Right? But see, it's that stubbornness that gets us in trouble. But see, when we submit to Him, and, you know, that's called, you know, dying to self and then living to God. This is a lot funner than it sounds. I know. This is kind of hard stuff. But dying the self is the first step to victory. When we die to self, it's that first step to victory.
Yes.
Because it is self that got us in this trouble in the first place. Think about that. Us wanting to do it our way. You know, the my way or the highway people? You know what I'm saying? I'm always right, you're always wrong. The control freaks. They just have to control every little thing. Micromanage. You know, it's that kind of thinking that gets us into trouble. And so, to me, the cross is all about self-denial. What amazed me is that we win by losing. Meaning by losing our life to Christ means that we gain it. And that's hard to understand. It's one of those deep revelations that God wants to reveal to us by His Spirit. That He wants us to understand the concept that when we surrender to Him, it's not defeat, but it's actually victory. It's a way that we can process and start to live with the information, you know, that God's given us, and we can walk in victory, that we're not moved by what we see, we're not moved by what we feel, we're just moved by the Word of God. I don't care what's going on around me, I don't care what's going on in me, but all I care is about my faith in God. That I believe that Jesus Christ is real, and He died on a cross, and He saved me from my sins, and He rose again from the dead, and that resurrection life is for me today. I can have that new life, that new way of living. So we win by losing. You know, we can't just make that mistake of focusing, you know, on what we feel and give up to follow Christ, and then we have to focus on what we have to gain. You know, a lot of people's like the rich young ruler. You know, I know when I first dabbled in Christianity, you know, I didn't really have that much, but what I had, I wasn't really wanting to give up yet because it was mine. It was mine. And I had the revelation or somebody, it was wrong teaching is what it was, or wrong thinking. Whether somebody told me wrong or I interpreted it wrong. You ever had that problem? Yeah. One of those deals. I just looked at all I thought I had to give up. Because to me, I was rich in my own possessions, in the things I own, my own ego, my own personality, the old things that I wanted to do with my life. So I focused on, man, I don't want to give that up. I got to quit this and I got to quit that. I got to do this and I got to do that. But instead, somebody helped me and they changed my focus, changed my perspective, changed the way I look at things. And they helped me to see, well, instead of looking at that, let's look at what you have to gain. Wow, that changed everything. This is what I get? Man, that's a trade up. But I couldn't see it before because I was focusing on the old, that side of Calvary, the way I've been living my life for years. And my life was somewhat successful. was still lonely inside, knew something was missing, but hey, I could cover that up. Right? Little drink of this, little drink of that. Doing this and doing that. I could deaden that pain. At least cover it up, couldn't get rid of it. That pain was still there. But when I surrendered to Jesus Christ, he took that pain away.
Amen.
My life was changed.
Thank you.
I give God glory for that. Never thought it possible. But with God, all things are possible.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
With God, all things are possible.
Thank you.
And to me, that was the start of something glorious and great. Oh, I don't have good days all the day. Don't let me overflower this a little bit. I have battles just like you. But I fight these battles from a place of victory now. Because I know the greater one that lives inside of me. And I know that I can overcome all things through Jesus Christ. I just think, like I said earlier, I just keep getting up. Just keep getting up. I keep going. I keep praying. I keep asking God. I keep reading the Word. I keep being faithful to church. Of course, I about got to be here, right? I'm work here, you know. But still, I enjoy it.
Yes.
I wake up excited. And before I was a pastor, man, I went to church. I loved it. I loved it. There was something there I wanted. I wanted more. I wanted to get more of that stuff. Because
yes.
That stuff was good stuff. You know, it's stuff that really made a difference inside of me. So the idea of that we have to get to is primarily, number one, God wants our heart. He just wants your heart. I know it hurts sometimes. You've been burned. You've given your heart away and somebody's hurt you. I know that. And there's trust issues now. But I want to challenge us today. Trust God. He won't break your heart. He won't break that heart. He's a loving Heavenly Father. And when we come to Him, we can be able to experience the things, you know, that he wants. So the idea that we need to have is, you know, we need to just take up our cross and follow. Take up our cross and follow. And without letting the cat out of the bag, people, taking up your cross is not sickness or disease. God does not give you sickness to teach you something. God gave you His Word.
Amen.
To teach us something.
Amen.
That's how we learn. Oh, we may go through these experiences in life. Don't get me wrong. Them happen. And we can learn through experience. But primarily how we learn through experience is when we grab a hold of the promise. When you grab a hold of the promise going through the problem, that's when you grow, your faith grows. You got to grab a hold of the promise as you go through the problem, and then things start to change inside of you. That's how you work. That's how it works. An old one illustration I used to use, and to be honest, this is just point number one we're on right now. I'm going to stop because, you know, I don't want to kill you. Last week I went long. I apologize about that. You know, what happens sometimes when I preach is I don't want to say black out, but I look up the clock and it's like 10 to 11. Then I look up again, it's 25 after. I don't know what happened. You know, you just kind of go with the flow.
Thank you.
But what I like to say about how you grow in faith and as we grab a hold of the cross is that if you're lifting weights, and some of you may bench press, I don't do it too much, just every now and then, but if you're laying there and you pick up them weights and then you set it down on your chest and you leave it there, you don't get any stronger. Matter of fact, you might die if you get it up around your neck. You know what I mean? You know how you get stronger? Resistance. When you resist the weight, and it's like that. When you resist the weights of this world, when you resist them with the Word of God, standing on the promise, and you hold on to them promises of God, your faith grows exponentially. Things change inside of you. You know, other people may not see it, but it don't matter. Because we're not a people pleaser. We're a God pleaser.
Thank you.
Amen?
Amen.
That's who we're going after. So we're going to stop right here today.